Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. And we come now to the final chapter in the Old Testament book of Job. As you know, if you've been following along, I have outlined this real-life story into one prologue and three major acts. I've given the analogy of going to the stage theater to watch the book of Job played out on the stage before us. And we have met a whole host of characters, the greatest of which, the main character, is God. And now God is speaking to Job. Yesterday we finished Act 3, Scene 1, and today the curtain lifts on Act 3, Scene 2. This is it. I am sentimental as we near the end, because for months Job has been my companion and now yours. Personally, I have learned a lot that has been immediately practical to me. That's what God does. By His Spirit, He times it so that the preacher-teacher learns the lessons first, then passes along those lessons to the people of God who tune in. Keep this in mind when you listen to others, including your pastor or minister. If that person is not speaking as though they understand, at a down-to-earth, heart and soul level, that what God is saying to them as much as to you, then that will explain why you sometimes feel disconnected from certain teaching and teachers. I am never somehow superior to you, above and beyond the application of Scripture, just because I am the one doing the talking. No, the book of Job is for me. And as I have sometimes shared along the way, the Lord had much to say to me in the last few months as passages would come blasting off the page of my Bible and strike me in my body, soul, mind, and spirit. God, Job, and the friends became companions that are hard to stop walking with, as we will soon turn our attention elsewhere in the Bible. But we can always keep coming back to them, rereading Job anytime, and learning something new on each return visit. Well, today is not the end, so maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's get settled into our seats now and look back up towards the stage and high above the stage as we watch and listen for Job's response to all that God has said and done. Throughout the whole story, yes, but mainly here in Act 3, which includes Job chapters 38 to 42. And up there on center stage is Job. He is broken. He is defeated. He is humbled. God has met with Job, and now we have before us a new man. Follow along with me as I read Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. This is Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6, and I read from the New American Standard Bible. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes. That is Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Job confesses that rather than questioning God, he is to trust God. He is always to trust God, no matter the circumstances. In verse 2, we hear again about the sovereignty of God, this time from Job's perspective. Only God can do all things, and none of God's purposes can be thwarted or stopped, prevented. And we find most poignantly in verse 6, true repentance. Job hates himself and denies himself, turning away from the sin of pride and towards God in heartbreaking sorrow. Job acknowledges that only God is holy. Job finally sees just how unholy Job is. Job is totally at the mercy of God. If we are to read these verses and ask ourselves this question, a good question when reading the Bible, is there a theme here? What would our answer be? Could we put in summary fashion the main message Job has for us as he responds to God? Can we summarize the theme in one paragraph, in one sentence, or even in just one word? Here's my opinion. I think we can capture what Job is saying in one word. He uses a version of this word in verse 6, repentance. Repentance. Sometimes when we talk about repentance from sin, even other Christians cannot really grasp what that means. Now, it is fair and responsible to define repentance in words. I've done that here on God Is and will continue to do so. But I have found that sometimes it is even more effective if we see repentance in the Bible, and of course in the days in which we live. It's kind of like this: we will know repentance when we see it. I say that to say this, to know what true repentance is, read Job. Read all of Job. Consider Job at the beginning, the middle, and now at the end. We have watched and listened and looked at the man who is before us now. And he is not the same as he was, right? If you have been with us since the beginning of Job, then I believe the changes in Job will be obvious to you. If you've only recently joined the podcast and/or the radio broadcast, then you will need to go back and listen to the previous podcasts from the godisministry.org website, along with reading the previous chapters in Job. When you do, you will see that Job is a sinner in need of repentance. Chapter 42 and the verses I have read reveal this repentance from Job's heart. I've been asked many times, what does repentance actually look like? Well, here is a prime example of repentance in action. Job is a repentant sinner. Let's take, for example, his sin of pride. Well, Job was a very prideful man, a self-righteous man, is another way to put it. I've highlighted this along the way. Well, now that he is repenting of the sin of pride, Job tells God, therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Well, that sure sounds to me like a prideful sinner saying, I am sorry for my sin in which I was busy telling you, God, things that I thought you did not know, when indeed I had no idea what I was talking about. Job acknowledges, in my pain and suffering, I turned the relationship between us upside down. I put myself in the higher place and you, Lord, in the lower place. I confused the rulership of the Creator with the creature. And I'm sorry for this. I, Job, now recognize my place as one of low estate, my place as one of humility before Almighty God. Only you are God, and I have no right to deity. Job says, I should not have elevated myself to such a grand place of honor in my life. So what can we conclude from this example of repentance in action? I have two insights, and then we'll be done for today. First, one of the traits of repentance is that repentance always results in humility. Second, another of the traits of repentance is that repentance is always expressed in prayer, in which we tell God about our sins and invite His forgiveness for said sins. Let's look at these briefly, one at a time. First, repentance always results in humility. The foundational sin in all our lives is pride. I believe that is why the Bible says God hates pride. But the opposite of pride is humility. So when we find ourselves driven by pride, sinning against God and one another, and we repent of that sin, then we are humbled. So here's a practical test. If you wonder if you have really repented of a sin in your life, ask family and friends, and ask other believers you trust, do you see evidence of more humility in my life? See what they say. If you ask yourself this question, you'll say yes. You'll have a greater assessment of yourself than you ought. That's how slick pride is. So see what is the assessment of other people who will tell you the truth about yourself. The ones you ask do not really have to know the nature of the sin you repented of. Just ask them if there is a greater spirit of humility about you. If they tell you the truth and they have not sensed that humble spirit in you, then you have not really repented. See Job as an example of this, and we'll see that together tomorrow. Second, another of the traits of repentance is that repentance is always expressed in prayer, in which we tell God all about our sins and invite His forgiveness for those sins. How do you know what repentance looks like in your life? One answer, you're praying about your sin. When you confess sin to God in prayer, are you specific? Or do you just sort of repeat the prayer the Lord taught the disciples to pray, Father, forgive me my sins, and then quickly, speedily, move on? When we are repentant, we will find that time is given in quiet conversation with the Lord, in which we name our specific sin and seek forgiveness. Let's write it out on paper if we have to. This specifically is my sin. I pray that Jesus will forgive me this specific sin. This is what Job is doing in these opening verses in chapter 42. And then he adds, I retract and I repent. You and I can do that today. Name our specific sin to God and sincerely add, not as a formula, but sincerely, I retract and I repent. Now that's a prayer God will hear and answer. Repentance is always expressed in prayer, in which we tell God all about our sins and invite His forgiveness for sin. As I leave you, I invite you to consider this. We have to stop for now, but I look forward to picking up back here again in Job chapter 42, Lord willing, tomorrow. Being repentant for sin, what does that look like? Well, let's continue to consider that, as together we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.